FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 193, recorded March 18th, 2016. I'm your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Jim Black, a.k.a. Mirani Prime.
Despite what you may think, I am made of sterner stuff.
You look like you should be at an oil platform or something other, too.
Perhaps.
Honestly, I think we've had people who cosplay normally on the show, but never someone actually in cosplay while on the show.
Right. just around
until now. Until now. And also with us this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
We're kind of a small cast tonight, but, some of us, the bugs are starting to hit people I know Rick, he's having some issues right now, health-wise, so speedy recovery to him. But tonight, we're going to, BotCon is going to be huge coming up this year, and it's all over every podcast. It's all over the websites and social media, and tonight is no different. We're going to be talking about BotCon. The history of BotCon and our favorite box sets. And, Don, we always call you the old man of the group. Well, tonight your age actually is helpful because you've literally been to pretty much every BotCon except what, one?
One. No, I missed 97 Rochester. I was gainfully unemployed at the time. So it was just did not have the money to go to 97.
I mean, my very first one was an OTFC, and that's not a BotCon, but I think the one in Lexington was the first official BotCon that I ever went to, which was 2006. Yes, it was 2006 because my ex-wife, she actually, on the casino night, she won the 2005 bag set as a mistake, but she won it playing blackjack. Which incidentally I sold because after we split because I didn't want that ugly reminder. I mean, that's the set she won. Now I want that set back because I actually like the Deathsaurus out of it. I'm one of the few people that actually like that Deathsaurus.
Just real quick, for the length of time Funpub had to pull something together for the 2005 after OTFCC kind of imploded for the various reasons, that was a hell of a set in 8 months' time. I mean, that was...
And you got to figure, the time frame, between Funpub picking up the license to do BotCon and and given the green light, okay, you got BotCon and you can do exclusives, but you've got this much time, you know, let us know now. With what they had on hand, I think they did a bang up job. A lot of people criticize 05 set for not being not being all that great, because Death Source's colors weren't all that dissimilar from the RID Megatron, which that mold is based on. Mm-hmm. We're actually getting it again this year, apparently, from all indications, with the Transmetal 3 Megatron. Yeah. You know, that wasn't that shown on in the teaser video?
Yeah.
We're getting it again, but in the colors we wanted to begin with.
But now here's also something. In that box set, you also got what was arguably for the longest time the best looking Ratchet and Ironhide they looked even, for that toe line mode, looked even better for the most part than what the classics looked like.
And the Virulent Clones, those were actually really pretty repaints of those Beast Wars characters. Then wasn't that also the very first instance of Flame War?
Yes.
And we've seen how many different Flame Wars since then. Which was actually wasn't the name of that kind of derivative from – Flame Wars on the internet, we're going to talk a little bit about the history of the convention itself. It's been a really busy week. Last week I was at Lexington Comic and Toy Convention, helping out our sponsor Captured Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com, where you can save even more with orders of $150 or more with free shipping. And I've got another announcement following the little plugs here. So stay tuned to that. But also check out Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with Mega Toy Fan. You can find Mega Toy Fan at the biggest toy conventions year round. Last week, Mega Toy Fan was at Joe Lanta. They're going to be at BotCon coming up in April, as is Captured Prey. So check out Mega Toy Fan and CapturedPrey.com. I was helping out Captured Prey last week. So it's been a really busy week, weekend for me, and throwing today's or tonight's episode together has been a challenge. And at last minute, I asked Carl Hartman if he would join us tonight, but unfortunately, he was not able to. Carl, if you're watching, hello. Hope all is going well with you tonight. And look forward to seeing you at BotCon this year. And for those of you who don't know who Carl Hartman is, Carl and his brother John, they basically founded BotCon. Way back in 95, 96, somewhere in there?
1994
was the first. Was it 94? Okay. Yeah. I keep thinking 96. I don't know why, but 96 is like a – was that the year that was skipped?
No. I'm not sure what you're asking there.
Wasn't there a year that was actually skipped early on in BotCon?
No. Men in Black got the rights to 96, and then John and Carl took it back in for 97.
Okay. Maybe I'm just – I don't know. I got that all mixed up. But you know what? Before I forget, I did say that I'm getting ahead of myself. I do have a special announcement, and this is from our sponsor, Capture Prey. I want everybody to let's see here. I want everybody to know that Captured Prey, if you are a third party collector and you're down and out about third parties not being at BotCon and everything, well, we are Captured Prey is not going to be not going to have third party product on premises. However, across the street, there will be a room with third-party products. Stay tuned for more information from that. It will be open beginning, I believe, Thursday and we'll run throughout BotCon. It's across the street and a nearby thing. It's within walking distance, and it will be running the whole time. So if you pre-order something or want to pick it up something there, because it is the hometown of Captured Prey, so picking up pre-order shouldn't be a problem. Just check out the Captured Prey room across the hall. We also, Captured Prey will be there. I'll keep saying we because I'll be a dealer helper. We'll have a full table full of all kinds of officially licensed Transformer products at BotCon itself. So, you know, you can get double your pleasure. And, also I want to get the date right. If you're coming to BotCon early, April 4th at the Zone Comics in St. Matthews, Kentucky, which is kind of on the northeast side of Louisville, you can find it via GPS and everything. At the Zone Comics, there will be an unofficial BotCon kickoff party sponsored by Zone Comics and CapturedPrey.com. You can also come in there. There'll be lots of third party and official products for sale available from Captured Prey, as well as some prototypes and everything from third party companies. Check out the Zone Comics. They have a lot of vintage items there for sale, as well as Transformers comics and other comics as well. But check out the Zone Comics and collectibles at in St. Matthews, Kentucky. Just look for that, and it will be on April 4th around 6 p.m. In the evening. So it's kind of a little party to kick off BotCon. A lot of fans. Hopefully you'll be able to check it out there. So now that I've been long-winded about that and more information for that as it comes through, you guys – what's your favorite BotCon moment? I'll start with you, Jim.
Favorite BotCon moment? Well, I actually have a couple of favorite moments. The first favorite BotCon moment, I think, would have to be getting to meet Frank Welker last year at BotCon 2015 in Chicago. Granted, I did screw up, lose track of time, and I missed out on the professional photo op. But even so, I got to meet the man, shake his hand, and thank him for, you know, his contributions to generations of fans of all franchises, not just Transformers. But, I mean, his talent just runs the gamut of pop culture from like the 1960s on up to current. I mean, it doesn't get more epic than that. But that was a really, really neat opportunity that I had. And then my other favorite BotCon moment wasn't actually at BotCon, believe it or not. My very first BotCon official that I went to was in Lexington in 2006. And it was myself and a group of my friends from where I'm originally from, down around Terre Haute. We were on our way back to Terre Haute, and this was like 2 in the morning, and we proceeded to get lost on the back roads of Kentucky. Several hours later, we found our way back onto Highway 150 and jig-jogged our way up back in that general direction. But, yeah, we ran across a flaming wreck, a stretch Hummer, all the northbound on ramps were closed down for some reason. I guess something must have happened, so we ended up having to go south trying to go north. That's actually what caused us to get lost. A haunted church where we're convinced it's haunted because the lights were on when there was nobody there. It was really weird. It was like this dark orange light coming from the church. It's real strange. And did I mention the road signs with bullet holes in them?
You know, this is taking a rabbit trail that Well, I'm strangely interested in this. Only you, Jim, can come up with a rabbit trail.
Well, have the fun of conventions.
Talking about BotCon and it leads to a church with horn lights in it.
Right. Half the fun of conventions, no matter what convention you go to, is the road trip. You know, going with friends, getting lost, just different misadventures. You know, and that's one thing I think gets overlooked quite a bit is the road trip, the journey to the convention. You know, that the anticipation that builds up on your way there. You know, I think it's part of the experience just as much as the convention itself. So. Yeah, that was pretty fun for me though.
Okay. What about you, Don?
Years ago.
Oh, well, this is where being the old man of the group is a detriment, because there's been so many moments, so many people I've met.
Good
I think
part.
I'm
God, tell Swoop good part.
I think I'm going to go. It's kind of a safe thing, but I'm going to go with the first BotCon. Because, and I'm going to go into just a little bit of history here. You know, back in the early to mid 90s, the internet was a thing that didn't really exist. So we used magazines like Tomart's Action Figure News and Lee's Action Figure and Toy Review for our news and information. For toys and stuff, and the upside was you got to see stuff in color pictures months before it came out. The bad side is you also got stuff that you could walk to your local store and see on the shelf that was in the magazine too. So it was not exactly the most current thing, but it was the best we had. I had wrote into Lee's Action Figure and Toy Review asking if they had ever done an RC figure for Transformers. Because I had never heard or seen anything like that. And they said that they hadn't. And John and Carl Hartman, who you mentioned earlier, Duran, saw that and wrote back in as a follow-up that, yes, they made a prototype and included a picture of the prototype, which Lee's Action Figure News and Toy Review published, to show that there was – and it was that RC we've all seen that was the kind of the wooden stick figure with the weird turned legs and the square.
It wasn't the G1 Chrome Dome painted up pink?
No, it wasn't that one. This was like the – like someone made it out of wood just as a basic silhouette sample. And also – John and Carl had at Lee's Action Figure, at Lee's magazine, forwarded to me a flyer. Excuse me. For the first BotCon, and that's how I got involved. It's like, okay, I got these two guys who I have no idea who they are, sending me a flyer for a Transformers convention that I have to fly for the first time in my life to Fort Wayne, Indiana, wherever the hell that is, and I did. And that was literally a life-changing experience because I did not know – this was 1994. I did not know about Japanese. I knew they came from Diaclone because, I knew a little bit about the history. But I didn't know about Master Force, Victory, Zone, Headmasters. I didn't know about the European stuff like the Turbo Masters. I didn't know about all the exclusives that were outside the U.S., so I walk into BotCon 94, and I see the Steelers room. And it's like the clouds parted, the angels sung. And I was like, I had no idea all this existed.
And that's what happened to Don's hair, because his mind was blown.
You can say that. So here I am with my dad's Polaroid. And I bought three extra packs of film. That was about $60 worth of film for Polaroid film. You only got 20 shots in a pack.
Wow. Mm.
So I was taking I still have some of them to this day somewhere. So anyway,
you know that what you just described there, Don, seems to me like every time I first go through the door into a dealer room at BotCon. Well, any Transformer convention, really, for that matter, but BotCon especially, because, I mean, it's the quintessential Transformers convention. It seems like every time I go into the dealer room, it's like that you know, as a Transformer fan, it's like that overload. Like you walk in there and that new toy, old toy smell just mingles.
Yes. But here's the funny thing. I was the first person in line to get in the morning the dealer room opened. And I will be proud to say I was the first person in line for the next 3 years, 94, 95, and 96, because I had no life. But 94, I'm the first person in line. The doors are cracked open because it's hot in there, and I peek in there, and I look around the corner, and what do I see sitting in boxes by the door? Breakdown. Oh. Boxes and boxes of G2 Breakdown. And I just, my jaw drops because G2 was, it had ended or was in its final phases. And I turned to the guy behind me, who was my roommate. I said, it's G2 Breakdown. It's G2 Breakdown. It's exclusive. And John says, shh, shh. He shushes me there in line. So anyway, that whole experience, learning about the foreign pieces, that's the year I bought Star Saber and Victory Leo and was running through O'Hare Airport.
For dirt cheap prices.
Yeah, again, because all that stuff was on the shelf at the time, still in Japan. I mean, I got Victory Leo for like $60 in the box, I think. $60, $50, $60
I hate you, Don.
You know? I mean, there's that. But that is my memory. Because that's when it all changed. That's when this did not become a hobby, and it became an obsession. I'll admit it. It became an obsession.
Well, we're all a little bit obsessed. I mean,
yeah. But when you find out other continents have this crap and you don't have it, and you want it all.
All of it.
All of
it. Well, speaking of all of it, somebody who has – all of what we've been talking about. Brett, you have joined tonight. Welcome. Kind of fill out the cast here. We're talking right now about our favorite BotCon moments. Do you have a favorite one that stands out to you?
Wow. First of all, is this thing actually working today?
You're
a little soft.
You're coming through your computer's mic.
Last time I did it through this one, that's when it did that.
All right, I'll just raise your volume on the thing here. Let's see here.
Let me know when it comes through. Good. Am I good? Am I good now? How about now?
Hopefully that's a little bit better there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, shaving the porn stash would help.
I need to. I'm telling you, it's a flavor saver. Yeah. I mean, come
flavor saver.
Anyway. Oh, what would be my best? I might come back on that one.
Okay.
There's so many. Every year something goofy happens, or there's always something. Really always something, and that's really cliche, but it really is. It really is. From goofy stuff. To just, I mean, I'm trying to remember the one year where, when they had the big Optimus Prime. Wasn't that the year of the 07?
I think it was 06 or 07, one of them.
When they were talking about the movie.
And well, 06 had the big hand with the timeout. Yeah.
It wasn't the hand. It was the big Optimus Prime.
Okay, that was not 07.
To which, if you happened to be in the dealer room when they were breaking it down, Optimus almost killed somebody.
So oh yes,
that was a memorable moment.
Hmm.
So that was
kind of incidentally, talking about helping out with Capture Prey last weekend. The room that we were in for Lexington Comic and Toy Convention, the room that we were in was actually the room, the dealer room for BotCon 2006 was in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We was in the room. We were sitting there and it's like, this is where BotCon was in 06.
I really wish I had pictures of that one. That was the year in Lexington. where if you went into the dealer room and you went sharp right, we were in the first row.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we were.
Well, I was really, really happy because I'm like, you know, first row, most people turn right. Awesome. They put the first row so close to the front wall that people shot in and went right past the first row into the second row. And it was literally one of these things where you were like, as a dealer, you were going,
where are you going?
Exactly. You were like, what happened?
Please come back.
But the funny part is somewhere I've got a picture. And if anyone knows what this is, they'll know how rare this is. The Diaclone series had a gift set of three cassettes. And it came in a box set, and it had Laserbeak, Rumble, and Ravage. Mm-hmm. And they were in their G1 colors, but it was a box set. The stampings, of course, were different. Super, super rare. I actually had that thing for $400.
Wow.
Now, everyone will say, well, that's a lot of money. It goes for well over that. Well over that. That was back when I wasn't going to do Diaclone. And the funny part was is it didn't sell. So I kept it. And it started me on that bad spiral to where I got to get all the Diaclones, which are very expensive. So it was just funny that one piece that I didn't sell flipped over, and now I'm into Diaclones. And it was at that show.
I'll tell you what, though, Brett. BotCon 2006, that was my very first BotCon there in Lexington. And I actually remember how that dealer room was set up because I'm the idiot that spent about 2.5-3 hours at your booth just digging through boxes of stuff and missed out on the Peter Cullen autograph.
Mm.
I was so enamored and drawn in. I'd walk in the door, I'm like, toys! And next thing I know, time had passed. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah,
well, you were like right there in the
Galen was right in the front door, and then there was like one dealer next to him. I think Orson was next, we were like down from that. We were like five down, but it was funny. And you would think, oh yeah, I mean, right in the front door, turn to the right, everyone. I don't know if it was the first guy that went, hey, follow me. Bolted right past the first row.
Right.
And I was just like, what the hell?
Well, that was also the fact that it doesn't have to be your first convention that you get this little befuddled. I've told the story before, but in 96, which I don't talk about much because we all know 96. If we weren't there, we've heard about it. There's a reason a lot of us call it 96 the disaster. But that's the year I got Grand Maximus in the box for $365. And I get him. I take him. John and Carl follow me. They want some pictures. By the time I get to my hotel room, I've got like 20 people in the hotel room taking pictures of Grand Maximus, which is cool. And then after everybody leaves, I sit down, and then I realize I flew here.
I remember you telling that story.
How am I going to get – and I actually literally bought – and it took me 2 hours because it was a Saturday. I had the money but not on me. The hotel wouldn't cash a personal check. The only bank in town that was open would not cash a personal check if being out of town. So I went and I'm gonna thank him again, Tony Prieto. We all know Tony. Tony's just been a fixture at BotCon. He actually trusted me enough to cash me a check out of his dealer sales money to let me get the money to buy that Grand Maximus. If it hadn't been Tony Prieto, I wouldn't own him at all. And just by sheer fate, my best friend who wasn't going to make it to the show actually made it, but not for the show. In town visiting relatives, and he was stopped by the show for like 2 hours before they went to their relatives. So he actually, I turned around. It's like, this is how I get it home. So it doesn't matter whether it's your first show or your 30th show, you can still get so caught up in it, you forget what you're doing.
You know, that's a really awesome story, and I believe you've told it before, and it never gets old. It just goes to show you what a great time you can have at BotCon and the memories that are associated with it. But you know, let's kind of go back and talk about BotCon, where it was back in 1994, and Brett did point out to me, on all the promos and stuff, I mentioned 96 as a start. My bad, it is 94. But let's talk about the early years of BotCon. And Brett, you went silent there for a second. Yeah, your audio is completely gone. For the audio listeners, he's shaking his head in disgust. Don, talk about the early years. What was it like? Let's talk about, you know, I mean, we've had Carl Hartman on before, and he talked about what it was like getting the convention together. If you want to kind of listen in on that, go back to tftalk.net and search for Carl Hartman. You'll find the episode where we talked with Carl about, getting BotCon together and organizing it from the very beginning. But let's kind of make this episode about the fan experience at BotCon and what helps build these memories that we talked about right here. Don, what was it like as a fan going to BotCon in the early years?
It was, I guess, life-changing is one thing, and then eye-opening, because you realize when you see these people, I mean, you think you know the story. You've seen the cartoons, you're reading the Marvel comic, or you read the Marvel comic. You think you know this stuff. And you walk in, and then you learn about the diver set or the taco tank. And then you learn about the European stuff, the Japanese stuff that we never got over here, as I mentioned earlier. You literally learn that what you thought you knew was a drop in the bucket. And the early years, I remember because, again, I probably spent more time in the dealer room than I should have versus the other things going on. But again, there was stuff I didn't have, and I had to have it. So I searched through every nook and cranny and box, and I even took catalogs with me trying to find out. I'm looking for this and this and this. And I would bring the catalogs from my Japanese packages trying to find the stuff because I didn't know what else they were. But really, it was very casual, very laid back. There wasn't a lot of guests the first couple of years. The Hasbro design team was there. From the early, some of the G2 people were there. You know, we saw couple things that never came out, like the original Sergeant Hound and General Optimus from the Laser Rod, Soundwave, and Jazz, the GoBot racing rig that would have been part of the GoBots line, as far as like a built-in launcher ramp for them. Again, we didn't know what the exclusives were. We would know a price point. And later on, when they got access to more things, a size class. So we might know, okay, it's an Ultra or it's a Deluxe that we from, you know, and you knew it would be from the past previous few years. But again, you had limited choices, but you still didn't know what you were getting, which I kind of miss. You know, in today's BotCon, in today's convention, you can never sell that blind like that. It's just not the way things are done now. But back then, you know, you would have a deluxe and then a basic or a scout class figure. And it was just sort of casually fun. You know, and then
there wasn't a lot of people either, were there?
No, I mean, no, there wasn't a lot of people. I mean, the first BotCon, and I'm sure John and Carl can either back me up on this or correct me. I think there was only 104 registered attendees. You know, that's all there was. And you could fit all of us in the dealer room and still have the half the dealer room that was for the panels completely untouched. But it was this incredible. And same thing for 95, because once you got your toys home and once you got to playing with them and you realize and you go through your catalog, it's like, this is stuff I haven't seen before. 95 was the same way when Raksha ran it. And 95, I had just as much fun at 95 as I did 94. Raksha, she's well known. She's well known in the fandom, but she's not as active anymore as she used to be. But she ran a top-notch convention, and you know, and we got the first official female character in Night Racer, which was a GoBot, a little GoBot. That was the first official female character. So you got stuff even back then. You know, a first official female character, a G2 figure that wasn't released, you know, into the general public. Exactly. So, yeah, that's what it was. It was casual. It was laid back. It was fun. And, you know, you kept wanting to know more because you kept learning more about this mythos that you didn't know existed. And then there was, you know, again, there was 96, which was bad for various reasons. Everyone here has heard all the stories. You know, the no video room, we basically had to use an AV cart for the video room.
You mean like cake. In grade school?
Yeah, but literally, cake with no plates and water.
Cake with no plates. It's like just a handful.
Well, we had napkins. We had napkins. And our name badges were, hello, my name is so-and-so. Those were our name badges.
You know what? As an homage this year at BotCon, our name badges need to they could look like the normal badge, but it should just say, hello, my name is.
No. No. Yes. I've been through that one time. I'm not doing it again.
not handwritten. It's printing, but it looks like just an homage to it, you know.
So through the years, you know, the same experience, you know, it changed and evolved. It changed and grew. More guests, bigger and better exclusives. Then we get to the OTFCC years where things, to me, kind of backslid a little just for various reasons. And then we get to 2000, you know, it is the year 2005.
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, I kind of missed the old way of doing it when the convention was smaller, not knowing the figure, just knowing a price and a size class. But like I said, there's no way we could do that nowadays. It's not economically feasible, and people wouldn't buy in blind like that.
See, I think Brett's having some audio issues, so he's going to log off and log back on. Now, having been to 30 some conventions of BotCon. Don, what would you say aside from the overall size? You know, I mean, obviously you've gone from what, 104 people to literally thousands.
Yes.
Of people that show up to BotCon.
104. That's oddly specific. Is that the actual number of attendees?
That was the actual number of registered attendees that sent in their RSVP basically.
I never knew that.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yay.
I'm just sick of this daggone thing. What I was going to say was...
Should have stuck with the Mac.
I'm probably going to. But anyway, what I was going to say is that you move on and then you get to the 97 and we get our first Beast Wars repaint.
Oh, Vice Grip?
Antagony.
Antagony. Antagony.
Which, in my opinion, is one of the best BlackCon exclusives ever. I love that.
The name itself is pure genius. Ant, yes. Agony.
It sells itself. Jesus.
Right.
Well, hey, you know what? I've got her. I'm going to get her so people can see her if they're not familiar with her. I'm going to get her right back.
Cool.
Yeah, I like that. And I was sitting here thinking 98, 99. And my first one was 2000. And I went in, and I in just a real short story that just blows me away is most people back then, there was less people. There were less people, but there was still a good deal room. And that was the reason I went. And I know they had voice actors, this, that, and the other, but I really went there for the dealer room. And I kid you not, it was like being a kid in a candy store. It's just my eyes were just wide, and it was just trying to take it all in. It was amazing. And then to get the exclusives that they had, you know, I mean, that year in 2000, it was Shock-A-Rack, which was another neat one. And I like that one too. That was my first BlackCon exclusive I ever got. And from then on, I've never missed one. I loved it.
What was that? The Armada Megatron mold?
That's OTFCC.
That's OTFCC. And that's a funny story too, because
Rampage. I'm sorry, Rampage.
Yeah, it was a Rampage mold.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is in every show has their pitfalls or problems, this, that, and the other. Hmm. I can honestly say I never had a bad show, and I never really had a bad experience. Even at the worst part where they had the Sentinel Maximus that didn't get shipped out and this, that, and the other, I actually got mine. I actually got everything I was promised.
I had two.
So, I mean, I absolutely can't complain.
Yeah.
I loved every one of them. And to be honest with you, I'm a little saddened because every year I would always, when it was over, it was like, it was like, well, 300 and some odd days until the next one. And I better hurry up and find out. Man, if you could let me know, you would try and get through the grapevine. Man, do you know when they're going to open up registration? I got to get my vacation in. I can't miss it. And that's how you felt. You were just, I can't wait.
That kind of leads to this year. You know, I mean, knowing that this is going to be the last one, it really saddens me, you know, because BlackCon has been such a part of me being a Transformers fan. You know, that Super Bowl of Transformer fandom that you look forward to every year. I mean, yeah, there's other Transformer conventions, but there's only one BlackCon.
Yeah.
You know, and
you know, it still hasn't really hit me yet. This is the last one, but I got a feeling it's when I get there, it's going to hit me hard. And it's like, I have spent 21 years of my life.
I can tell you this, that every moment that I'm there, I'm going to be soaking it in.
Yeah. But let me, on happier notes, this is Antagony. This is the box.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And
you open it up and it's the best.
But yep, there's the back with some Onyx Primal from 96 and the Fractal Pack Rat set, right, which I think is one of the three.
It's a good one. Yeah. I did want to point out before you popped that up, I was wrong. I said 97, I meant 98.
Oh, yeah.
Fractal and Pack Rat came in 97. That's a great one. That was the first Beast Wars remold, and I love that one too.
It's kind of hard with the glare, but it's a repaint.
The artwork on that was just amazing. If you can see inside the actual insert, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's that. And, you know, this is, you know, then the Fractal Pack Rat I love as well. I'm gonna jump ahead just a little bit as far as some of my favorite exclusives. I like all of the Fun Pub box sets.
I don't know if I could say that.
Okay.
They gave it a good college try.
Yeah. All the sets have at least one. Even the sets I like the least, There's one figure in the set that I do like, but some of the sets are not, as a cohesive whole, my favorites. But my favorite fun pub set is probably going to be the 2010 G2 set.
Because you know, stole mine.
mine are Dawn's of Future Past. Even though everyone's going to say, well, of course, it's the most expensive. It was just neat, especially after I love Beast Wars, got to see all that. And then you get your, you know, I didn't get my feel of it. We jumped into Beast Machines. I was like, okay, I still got my same characters. I'll keep with it. And then it was over. And then all these characters that I wanted to know more about are gone. This gave us a little, you know, the past of them. And
yeah.
I would love to see another one. I would love to see it keep going.
And there's just as many people out there that'll say that the Games of Deception set, where we completed our classic Seekers, you know, that would be one of the big sets. But
until Universe,
yeah. Yep. But for me, the two best exclusives for BotCon as a whole, and this is going to come as a absolutely no shock to anybody, I'm sure. First one. Tigatron from the Ravage mold. The first time we ever got a Japanese only mold released in the U.S. And some great
remolded from this one.
Yep. And of course, great box art by Dan. Dan's always done some fabulous artwork, some great CGI work on the front from Mainframe. Runner up. If I have to tell you what the first one is,
I always figure that one out.
Let me just say this. She's more than just a pretty face.
Yeah, and she'll tell you.
Yeah.
Did you get the sound chip version?
Yes, although it finally died.
That was the only reason that I hated that toy, is because you could have it in a completely dark room, closed up, and yet every once in a while you'll hear it go off.
What did it say?
I'm more than just a pretty face.
Don't underestimate
me. I'm more than just a pretty face. RC Maximize.
Yeah.
And
over and over.
And no one. Everyone tried various ways. If they didn't open the box, they were trying to find keeping it like in a bag, so the flap wouldn't open.
I had it in the display case, the bottom shelf, flap closed, and still every once in a while it would go off.
It would just would trigger it.
And you're just like, really? But the one thing I wanted to say is I have to give CAT Scan my number one pick for the best packaging.
Oh yeah. Yeah, with the flip up,
the long medical quarter. That was a really, really neat design.
It's almost like his box was like a tricorder, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, I whenever I talk about favorite exclusives, I didn't start going. Like I said, 06 was my first actual BotCon. I wanted to go to the one in Durham, and I had the money and then wasn't able to get off from work that year, and it just, ugh. But, yeah, BotCon 2006 in Lexington, where it was pretty much in my backyard, slept in my own bed every night like I'm going to do this year. And it was just a surreal experience. I have to say that very first set, the Deathsaurus, is one of my favorites. But I would have to say that's my runner-up. But my favorite, wow, I don't know if I have an absolute favorite. I guess maybe the Werewolf. What year was that? Was that 06 or 07?
It was 07,
yeah. Even though he wasn't a headmaster, my favorite character got an homage, and I have to say that's my favorite. You know, I'm predictable like Dawn was, you know.
I wanted to say one thing. I was sitting here thinking about the worst, just to see if I could throw in a worst thing that happened. And you mentioned Durham.
North Carolina. And I remember going to that one. And guys, you got to remember, this is before GPS. This is before TomTom and all this wonderful things that we have nowadays. And believe it or not, on my way back, they closed the expressway down, and I got horribly lost. And I saw little towns that to this day probably still are not charted on the maps. I'm telling you.
What year was this, Brett?
Let's see, Durham was that 2001. And didn't have any of that stuff. Literally, you would back then you would print out your trip ticket. If people know what that is, you're old like me. Trip ticket, and it would tell you how to go. Well, that's wonderful, except when the expressway shuts down. Then you just kind of you flip out the old map and you have at it.
Or your Rand McAnally Road Atlas.
Yep, that's it. I mean, literally,
Rand McAnally.
You're driving. The passenger's got the big opened up and just. Okay, we go here now. Yeah, that's how you did it. And,
it's like you're going down Bob's Road. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Turn left at the tombstone, then go down. Yeah, I grew up in those kind of towns,
and that's the directions you would get. But
blue road and turn down.
Well, and of course, you know, the wonderful flights to L.A. You know, goofy stuff happened there. But as far as anything at the actual convention, never really had anything bad. I mean, there's always surprises. And like I said, they make for interesting stories.
Well, the one thing about Durham I'll always forget is two things, actually, to piggyback on what you were saying, Brett. One, John and Carl knew about RC 2 years before we got her, and they didn't say a thing to me.
Of course not.
It's like, when they were doing the reveals for the toys that year, John Carl is sitting. John's doing the speech. Carl is sitting there, and he keeps doing this, and he's looking right at me, and I'm saying, "What?" He does this. And then he hands it to John and he says, it's RC. And I just sort of glare at them. And they tell me after the fact that, you know, they knew 2 years out. But the other thing was the McDonald's. Because Durham was in a business park area where everything was closed on the weekend except for one McDonald's about a block and a half away. From what I understand, that manager won Manager of the Year for the largest sales increase in the company because his McDonald's was the only thing open unless you had a car and knew the area.
Oh, there you go.
And so that would just I think they took it to heart not to have it in a business complex anymore where nothing was open on a weekend.
I think do you remember you went to Dallas, didn't you?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Dallas. It was Pasadena, Texas. 05?
05? That, I want to say that was Dallas.
I know it had the really awesome hotel.
Well, that's what we're talking about. But if you remember, that was the year that Hurricane Rita came through also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I remember this. Hotel was amazing. If they could ever find a hotel that would do what this hotel did, absolutely amazing. Buffet hors d'oeuvre from like 5 to 7, all the free food for those that are really into drinking. They had free beer, free wine from 5 to 7.
A lot of
condors getting lit. Oh yeah.
You know what I would like to see? You know, speaking from a dealer perspective, or dealer helper perspective, is that the hotel have somebody go around to all the booths and get orders. Bring
it. Like the last time I was actually privy to that happening.
Never.
Nope, that's not true. Chad Williams for Slide.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm talking about at BotCon.
Yeah. I understand that, but I'm saying for a convention, every time he did.
But
every time.
Thank you, Chad.
A lot of people I know, and all of us said this at subsequent BotCons, we want them to move around because we always want it to be in our backyard for ease of traveling. But if they had to pick one place, they could have put it in Frisco and left it there if we could keep using that same hotel, because that was such an awesome hotel at the time.
I will disagree 100% from a dealer's point of view.
Yeah.
The big thing that I have a problem with about a stationary location is, and it's not just because it was so far away or whatever. In my opinion, when you do that, that area becomes stagnant. And sales are bad for dealers. And I'm sorry, but one of the reasons that the dealers come there is, believe it or not, to make some money. And so I know, shocker. So, yeah, I like the fact that it bounces around. I mean, the first time it went to San Diego.
Wow, yes. Let's talk about San Diego for a second. One of the most beautiful hotels I have ever stayed in. And I have never been more exhausted after a convention from walking.
Yeah, you walked a lot.
Oh, God.
Even more than last year?
Yeah, last year was a lot of walking, too.
No, now, what was the one that had the suites? It was at a resort. And they had the big high rise where they kept most people, but then some people had bungalows.
Yeah, no, that was no. Oh,
that was a couple years ago.
It all blends. It all blends.
I know it does. The only thing I remember about that one was, yes, I would have loved to have had like a little Segway or something. Anyway, I it was killing me. It was a long walk.
Yeah, and literally, I got lost in San Diego. Was so spread out across God knows how many acres. Before you even got to the convention part of the hotel, I actually got lost in the hotel trying to find my way around from building to building. Mm-hmm. With the map, I got lost.
Hey, Duran, were you with us in San Diego?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't able to make that one.
Okay. Well, we all went out to eat afterwards. Orson had this little burger joint we wanted to try, so we did that.
Oh, Dad. Huh? I hear about it. Hodads.
That's it.
I hear about it a lot, yeah.
But the funny part, the funniest thing was, is it's one of those things, this is a wonderful story that just happened to happen when we were all there, but we go down to the pier because we want to go out and look, you know, see what it's about, and we walk up, and I see these two kids, and I'm going to say the word kid because they had to have been 12 or 13. Two kids who had caught a shark. And it was one of those little tiger sharks. I don't know what it was, you know, about 3-4 foot long. And it's sitting there on the pier, and it's not moving. And they're like within 2 inches of it, they're just standing there, and they're like baiting their hook or something. And I just walked up and I went, "Wow, you guys caught a shark!" And I went, "It's dead, right?" And the kid goes, "No," and he smacks it, and it starts flopping around. And I jump back and I'm like, "It's a freaking shark, man. What are you doing?" And so these kids are just like, "Yeah, no big deal. It was a shark." So I was like, "Holy crap." And I'll never forget that. It was the weirdest thing in the world. He smacked it on the nose, and it just went all over the place. And I was shocked. That was one of those little goofy stories that if I had not gone to BotCon, I never would have seen in my life.
This won't top that by no means, but this is just you talk about how memories of BotCon. Mm-hmm. In Fort Wayne, the first 2 years it was there, there's nothing in downtown Fort Wayne at the time except one Subway. Like most downtowns, a lot of the stuff had closed up and moved out to the outskirts of town. But I was walking around. It was Sunday morning. Sunday morning is usually when I get out and do some walking around the area just to see what there is. There's a restaurant in Fort Wayne that will seat, and the front door says, "We can serve all of Fort Wayne, 11 at a time." The restaurant only has 11 bar stools, and that's the entire restaurant. But
wow.
Yeah. And but the food was really good. And the guy said, when I sat down and get some pancakes, he says, "You're not from around here, are you?" I said, "It's the accent, isn't it?" He says, "Yeah, it pretty much gives you away."
Now what makes you think that?
I said, "What accent?" Yeah, they all just. But anyway, you know, it's just, it's like you said, little things that make up the whole experience, not just being in the convention.
Right. Like, well, it's funny. I don't remember what year it was. It was early on for me, so it was probably about 2001, maybe 2002. As a dealer, we had it was a little knockoff bone crusher in a little Taiwan box, just cheap piece of crap. And we put a price tag on it of like $1,000, put another price, a tag on it that said super rare. And we kept just walking up to the dealers that we knew, and we would set it on their table and walk away. Just to have it sitting there. And then they'd find out what it was, they'd throw it or whatever, and we'd pick it up and we'd go to another dealer. It made its way around and around and around. I don't remember who wound up with it, but they just went, "I'm keeping it," and they threw it in their tote, and that was it. But it was just funny because you would have people come in and they would say stuff like that. And there, this $1,000 item, what's so rare about this? And they'd be like, "What? What?" And they'd see this little cheap $5 toy. They'd get all pissed, take it and throw it down. It was like a little running gag.
Okay. Who said his name three times?
Just click their heels together and say, "Pete Sinclair, Pete Sinclair, Pete Sinclair." And he magically appears.
All you got to do is say three wrong things, and then I appear.
That's true. The first thing would be the Bengals are good. The Bengals
I figured. I mean, you got Brett saying the Pack Rat came out in 98. You got Don saying what BotCon 94. You got saying the show started in 96. I'm like, well, shoot, I better come on and set you guys straight on a couple things.
We do want to impart some information here for fans who may not know or maybe going for the first time and everything. So let's set the record straight here, Pete. What have we done wrong so far?
No, I'm mainly just giving you a hard time. Actually, it's funny, Don. I think, you know, I was just talking to Carl about the first BotCon the other day, and because we were trying to figure out the number, because I knew, because when we in 2004 we did the same number of the Action Master breakdown as exactly. We did.
That's why that number stuck in my head was 100.
It was 184. We did 184.
Though. 184, okay.
But to your point, though, I think pre-registering, I think they only had like 120, and then there was
Andy cut off.
At a wonderful point. By the way, he has a Mac.
Hey, it happens to everybody.
He'll jump back in. Give him a minute.
Yeah.
But in any case.
Beetlejuice.
BotCon.
How many BotCons have you been to, Jim?
I went to my first year was, like I said, 2006 there in Lexington, where I wasted a quarter of my time at your booth and lost track of time.
I appreciate it.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. Like I said, you know, first thing I saw was your booth, and it's like, you know, Gene Wilder could have popped out and you know, give me a fizzy lifting drink or something. I mean, it was just freaking magical. But it was there in Lexington, and then I went to 08 in Cincinnati, where they debuted Transformers Animated for the first time. For me, proximity is kind of an issue. I wanted to go to so many others, but it was just too far and too expensive to travel. And then last year, 15, and then I'm going to be there again this year at 2016.
Well, let's see here. I've been to – I'm trying to figure out here.
Oh, I forgot. Technically, I pre-registered for OTFCC 2002, but I never actually made it.
Here's one.
But I still have the sucker.
Oh, yeah.
Don't eat. No, do not eat the sucker.
Did yours melt?
There's three.
I'm not going to eat.
Did yours melt? Mine literally, just from being in the basement, melted.
It's melted inside the plastic. It's
still good. Oh, yeah. It's still good. Go ahead.
You can still
have Optimus
Prime in the sucker.
Yeah, well, barely. I mean, it's. I remember it was all melted.
Right. So, he's back.
Maybe.
So I've officially been to five. So it's funny, you know, a lot of people that's been to multiple BotCons, they do this. They do the Mr. T chain, you know.
Dave.
Yeah. Well, I do it too. I'll probably have
Mr. Dave's on. Dave's is bigger.
Mr. T. I mean, he's got all.
Yeah, Dave. Don, you need to put everybody to shame, and you do it this year.
I don't know where they're all at.
I don't know. I got my pins.
You've got a month.
Wait, Don's still. How many? Are you one or two short, Don?
I'm one short. Well. Yeah. Well, now, okay, technically I'm one short because I did not go to 97 in Rochester. I did go to BotCon 2004 versus OTFCC 2004, so I did still go that year.
Yeah,
we're
both.
All right. Well,
so I'm one down because of 97.
That was a neat year because I actually got twice the fun. I didn't have to wait a whole year. But that was pretty good.
All right, now – We've digressed and talked about our favorite moments and everything. We talked about the contrast of a BotCon whenever it began. Like Don talked about, you know, like 104 people at the first one, and to where it is now, thousands of people coming. And that didn't sound right just then. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sounds like a massive orgy here.
You know that, but anyways.
Well, you know, you walk into the room and you see all these toys. That's basically what you're doing. And Brett's just sitting here like I don't know these people. Now, what do you think? Okay, what's one thing? Out of you guys who've been there so many times, what do you think the one thing that has been the biggest improvement? Was it the toys? Was it the guests? Was it the panels? What is the one thing that made it magic, more magical over the more recent years?
I can answer that. I don't know about the others, but and Pete already knows because I told him. When I got to meet Frank Welker, was just tops. I mean, it was just amazing to be able to see him, talk to him one-on-one. I never would have gotten to do that. Never. So, I mean, that's just one of the experiences that by going to the show that I was able to do. And I just, that's the top. That was the absolute neatest moment in my little BotCon history, I guess.
You know,
No, you go ahead. I would have to say the amount of guests, as far as having things to do outside the dealer room. Because those first couple of years, I could care less what was going on because the dealer room was my primary focus. Mm-hmm. But once I realized I've got most of this crap, I don't need to be in the dealer room anymore. And I want to do the other things. And so the other, well, not just guests, but I'll say the other panels, the Friday night events, the casino nights, and then of course the extra guests. I think this stuff outside the toys has been the biggest improvement. Just again, having Hasbro involved means you've got more money, more influence. And you can do these things at Paramount and have Stan Bush play there, or you can have, you know, whatever the case may be. So I think that's been the biggest improvement, is more stuff to do to enhance the convention experience that's not just toy focused.
You know, if I had to say what my thing is, you know, like I said, my very first con experience ever ever was OTFCC in, I think, 04. Was it 05? I forget now. Well, I know right now. Hold on. It was, well, there's not a year on it. Isn't that a shame? Anyway, for years, like I said, you know, I almost went to Durham. If I'd been able to get off from work at that time, I would have went to Durham, and that would have been my first one. But for years, you know, I got back into the hobby around 99 or so, early to mid 99, and I kept seeing on the message boards this thing called BotCon, you know. And the more I read about it, the more I'm like, hey, I want to go to one of these. And, you know, I went to the OTFCC that year because, well, the BotCon was in California and then OTFCC was in Chicago. And I'm like, I live closer to Chicago. It was just more of a thing out of convenience for me that I went to that one that year. But the next year, it was 06, whenever it was in Lexington, my backyard, I had no excuse. You know, even if I couldn't get off from work, you know, at least go as a walk-in. And just walking into it as a Transformer fan and knowing that I'm at the Super Bowl of Transformer collector, you know, heaven, you know, it's like this is where I want to be. This is what I want to do. And that right there in and of itself, you know, I mean, just the history behind the name and the brand. And the fact that it's official was the draw, you know. I mean, even if it didn't have the official brand, I'd still want to go. But just because it's BotCon, and the guests have almost always been appealing to me because, you know, I'm a fan of the cartoon and everything, and then the toys. You know, every year, you know, even if it's as a box set may not knock it out of the park, there's always at least one or two toys out of the set that that really flips my trigger. Last year was Oil Master. You know, I still haven't gotten an Oil Master, and I want one badly. But every year there's at least one toy that I want. And now this year you got a whole freaking combiner, and I'm like, gimme. So. It's just something about it, you know, that there's always something there that as a collector is a huge allure to me. And if I miss the show, and there's been several that I've wanted to go to and I couldn't for one reason or another, I always feel like I missed out. Even if, you know, I see the news online or see the toys online or a friend picked up the toys and I'm able to handle the toys. Just knowing that I wasn't there, I feel like, you know, a little part of me died. You know, I know it sounds kind of corny, but it's that allure.
I agree with you 100%. Like I said, once you start, it's hard to break. And as I said before, I don't know what I'm going to do now. And I'm not saying that in a like, oh my God, my life's over type thing.
No,
but you know, it was a, it is a big part of my life. You're talking about every year I plan, and I always take two vacations, but I plan one vacation specifically around this convention every year. And it was like I said before, you know, you bugged everyone in the world to try and get the info on when it was coming out so that you could get your vacation in, so that you could get your registration, so that you were set. You know, you wanted all that. And now it's gone.
Well,
don't be writing any obituaries yet, for Pete's sakes. I mean, we got 2 weeks until, good grief, do the postmortem if there is a postmortem afterwards. I'm not trying to, like...
Well, I'm trying not to be so negative, but...
Yeah, I'm not trying to steer a conversation. I'm just saying, look, we got, what, the show starts in, what is it, 3 weeks from...
About 2.5 weeks, I think.
From yesterday, I guess, and coming in for the tours on Wednesday, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be... This has actually probably been the busiest I've been before a show that I can remember, just because I keep getting more responsibilities every year, which is fine. But this is just it's just crazy. I mean, there's so many moving parts this year. And that's what always like, cracks me up is people, you know, and I'm not coming on, I'm not going to get into all that, but it's just like, I don't think a lot of people understand how much there is that goes on the back end. Mm-hmm. It's just nuts. I mean, because this whole 4th Street Life thing with Stan Bush and Vince DiCola, that's a whole giant project. This whole Judd Nelson thing is a whole giant project. I mean, each one of these things are, plus all the print stuff that we're working on, working with IDW on the comic, and that doesn't even take into account all the toys and stuff like that, which we tried to have all wrapped 2 months ago. Just it's just nuts, you know. So, but it's gonna be wild. I mean, it's gonna be. There's so much, you know. One thing I will say is the last 2 or 3 years, especially really since 2012, really almost the last 4 years, people have said, and I know chatter online, whatever. That's chatter out here online doesn't really matter sometimes to me at all. The only thing that matters to me really at the end of the day is what's on those feedback forums and what people come up and tell us at the show. And the last 3 or 4 years, people have just been glowing about the show. I've just had the best time at the end of the week and said, this was just great. Everything went smoothly. And there's just so much we have to do on the back end just to get to that point to make sure that that happens. Because if we don't have all that stuff prepared ahead of time, some bomb's going to go off and it's just not going to work out right. But we have got just, I mean, between the Judd Nelson thing and then the guests that have kind of changed on us at the last minute with the Alec and then the Scott. And then Greg Berger was awesome enough to come in and willing to do it on short notice. But yeah, it's gonna be a wild show. The Judd thing's gonna be cool. We got the golden ticket thing's gonna be extra cool this year. I know I told you guys we showed the
Pterosaur. Pterosaur. Now the colors on that. The Photoshop that's on the preview and the
that's
actual
not a Photoshop. Toy. That's the toy.
That's the actual toy. I mean, because it always seems like it's a shade darker than the actual photos, but
well, let me pull it up. I'll tell you right now. I will tell you right now.
Now, I also got to ask: is it just a matter of coincidence that BotCon this year is in Louisville, and Pterosaur the freebie resembles the U of L Cardinal logo.
Oh, man. That was completely
coincidence.
Dude, you guys are slowing me down here. what do you say?
We can blame Brett. It's his crappy connection.
Let's go with that.
It's a little brighter online. It's gonna be a little darker.
It's more like the pterosaur, the G1 pterosaur color.
He's a little darker. He's a little darker than the Beast Wars toy.
Is that actually Impactor that's off to your left there?
What is it?
Is that Impactor that was shown off to your left next to
you? Yeah, let me pull you back up. This is a production sample. It's not an actual font. We actually got the black on the eyes. They did the black outlines on his eyes, so that looks a lot better. I think that was the only thing we requested on him.
That actually looks surprisingly good for a Impactor. I wouldn't have thought that would have looked good out of that.
Oh, he's fantastic. You put all the weapon pack on him. He's got included the weapons that came with the RC. You got the blaster right there, and you got an extra gun. He's got that off here, and then we did leave this one. It's painted, but the final one will be unpainted to try to emulate his lack of hand. And then here's the pterosaur without it. Well, that's the headless one we got initially. So got the cockpit. Or the nose gun, I should say. I'm sorry.
Titan Master Terror.
I think I actually echo Sideburn from our podcast. That is probably my new favorite toy right now. I like the model look on the wings.
Well, hey, Pete, I know this.
The centerpiece.
Go ahead.
We're having some.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh no, no, I was going to ask you one of the big news things this week was y'all did extend the club deadline through Friday today. As far as that goes, is there anything about Subscription Service 5? I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just wondering, can you tell us anything about 5 other than what we've seen so far? Or is that all you need to be?
No, I'll tell you. There are some Combiner War figures in there. There's something in there that's gonna kind of wow people. It's not a new mold, but it's gonna really wow people. Like they're gonna go, what? So there'll be one of those. So I think people will be. I don't think anyone's gonna be disappointed with 5.0. If you like 4.0, you're gonna like 5.0, and we even. It's not even just going to be straight. There's going to be some added things to it that make it even more, more desirable than I think some people are initially anticipating. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I hope. I got the numbers from Angie this morning. We did, even in the last 2 days, did a few hundred extra more people signed up, new people. So I mean, we did some great. On the Joe side, we're actually at the. Which is just crazy when you think about it. We are at the highest number we've ever been on the Joe Club in 20 years. We've got more members now than we've ever had. Go figure that one. Transformers is pretty good.
Yeah. No, that's something else that came up. I'm not sure if you can comment on it, Pete. When the Collectors Club emails went out for both groups, the Transform one did say that Hasbro would be getting with us on future prospects. The G.I. Joe one didn't have that kind of allusion to it. I'm not a big Joe fan, but I do like G.I. Joe. I'm just not a big fan. It's not one I collect on a regular basis. But do the Joe fans, is there something that they can look forward to? I mean, can you sort of say anything about that? That you know of, or is that something that you need?
No, I really can't. I mean, they can't go into any more than that because it's really not my place to.
I just want some good news for them.
Ask, I'm not like, you know, go ahead and ask. But yeah, that's just kind of. Sorry, I'm finding a little bit of a cold. I better get it now than we get it.
Now.
Oh, go ahead, Don.
No, I appreciate it, Pete. I just wanted to see if you have some good news for them, considering we're not really sure what's going to be happening with the Joe side of everything.
You know, kind of on a related note,
Joe,
I know
Joe's gotten – Joe has been
– Uh-oh. His connection's crapping out.
Yeah.
I'm on again.
Pete – You did there momentarily. On a related note, is there anything that you can clarify or anything? It's like the deadline of December 31st this year. Like everything is it ending then, or are you still going to be like sending out subscription service figures after December 31st? Is there anything that you can relay to the fans that might not be quite clear on that matter?
Any people are kind of hung up on that December 31st date. In a way, I mean, all memberships expire on the 31st, but it doesn't, product fulfillment and things like that don't necessarily stop, right? I mean, it's like 31st is going to roll around, and if you haven't gotten your toy, you're SOL.
Yeah, it's not Y2K.
So I'm not sure exactly. We're going to be starting up the subscription period for 5.0 here soon, and we'll give everybody a timetable then. But as crazy as it sounds, even though we have this looming date out there, we're still not to that point. At BotCon, at the Collector Club Roundtable, we'll reveal the full lineup for 5.0. People are going to go nuts. And then we will have a subscription period for that, and people will be able to order it. And then we've got stuff, and then we still have RC and Rodimus, only human toys, coming. And we still have another thing on top of that, which we'll be talking about at BotCon. So we are when it comes to product, we are far from done. There's a lot of work still to be done on the product side. So
is there enough room? And this is just grasping at straws here. Is there enough room in the remainder of this year to do a 6.0?
No. Even all things being equal, there's no way we would be able to fit 6.0 into this year anyways. I mean, I mean,
given the 31st deadline, if you were to, like, sell toys.
No. All remaining projects for our contract with the club have been approved and are finalized. There's nothing else we can add.
Dorian wants more toys.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It's like you know, is there a way to, like, squeeze more in, you know?
Everyone's like, you got people that say, oh, man, club, they put out so many toys, it's just too much to buy. And a year from now, people are like, oh, man, I wish you had some more club toys to buy. What's going on? Where are they? Where are the club toys?
Well, they're all I think a lot of it, too, is the fact that there's a lot of unknown from the fan point of view. There's a lot of unknown. After 2016 is done, and FunPub is not with the Transformers brand anymore, you know, will we have the type of exclusives like we have at all anymore? I mean,
that is a question for someone else, not me.
You know, I think
one thing I wanted to ask real quick is I did notice that some of the Joe guys, they started a petition to try and save the subscription service. How do you feel towards that? Do you think that's a good endeavor, or do you think it's a waste of time, or what?
No, it was actually for to save the G.I. Joe convention. I guess.
Was it the convention? I thought it was just the.
No, it's actual. No, the 5.0 for Joe is good to go too. No, it's to save. They got the hashtag Save G.I. Joe, and it's gotten up. There's been passed along to me. There's a ton of people that have signed the petition, and they JoeCon is a show that's been around for 20 years, and you have to realize that as long as BotCon's been around, you know, it's gone through a couple different families and stuff like that. Or when I say families, I mean, you know, just one company to another. But you know, Joe is a really tight community, and this is even more so than Transformers Away. It's a real family gathering every year. And I've noticed a lot of people just the uncertainty, I think, has gotten really uneasy. Because, again, when you make something a part of your life for 15, 20 years, that's kind of there for you every year. The idea that it might not be there is
I got a question related to BotCon, and it may even extend to JoeCon as well. And this is a question. You know, you read around on the forums and on Facebook, other social media. It's like, and we've even been lamenting here on TFYLP, and I'm sure other podcasts do too. You know, if this is the last BotCon, last official BotCon, you all will retain the name BotCon, correct?
Yeah, BotCon's a registered trademark of Fun Publications.
Yes. Okay. Would that preclude you from having an unofficial Transformers convention called BotCon?
That's a conversation for another day, for a long time away. I don't, you know, that's a.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying will there be, but I mean, could there be? Is it outside the realm of possibility?
You never say never on anything. That's not something that's the only focus we have on right now is doing the official Transformer Collector Convention. So that's the only thing that we are interested in is doing official Transformers Collectors Convention and the official G.I. Joe Collectors Convention. So, and both clubs. That's where our focus is, and so I can't really, you know,
I can kind of understand. I mean, your hands are tied. I mean, yeah. I mean, Hasbro could say. I mean, but I know a lot of fans out there. They don't want this to be the last BotCon.
No.
If I'm one of them, And well, if there's any possibility, even if it's not an official convention, next year, BotCon 2017, wherever it may be, it may not have official Hasbro backing, well, but there is a convention. And that's what I would like to know, if there's any possibility whatsoever that it could happen.
If there is, in fact, no BotCon next year, we will do PeteCon, and you guys are all invited to my house. And come chill.
Take your toys.
Actually, it's funny. I mentioned on another podcast, I'm actually selling. I've got family that'll be doing it for me and friends, because I actually been working all weekend. But I'm selling about 50 boxes worth of stuff. I'm doing a Hartman sale. I'm liquidating a bunch of stuff.
Well, Pete, let me ask you this. We don't want this being the last BotCon, but with you and Brian and Lenny and everybody, are y'all going to be okay? I mean, have y'all got stuff lined up after this? I mean, are y'all going to be all right?
Well, we're all going to be all right. That's regardless. I mean, again, that's all stuff that's I can't really go into. But I mean, you know, there's things. We'll be fine.
Yeah, because you know, I just wanted to know because there is the show.
Don, I need you to start a GoFundMe.
All the way up between you said that, I was going to say eloquently put until you said that.
GoFundMe is not even a it's not a monetary thing. I just want you all to start sending me toys, so you can send me your Grand Maximus. And
hell no.
Brett's already been to Brett's house, and I've already picked out 5 things he can send to me.
I have a listener question. Shannon DeHart asks a question. I don't think he's ever been to a BotCon. to get the free BotCon exclusive toy, how does a person do that?
To get the free pterosaur figure, you need to either be a Primus or a Golden Ticket Primus package holder. Primus package holder is, $395, and you get the box set of 5 toys. You get Friday, Saturday, and Sunday admission to all the events. You get the Saturday night casino night dinner and Hall of Fame awards party. You get autographs. Unlike other conventions where you have to pay for normal guests, you get all of your autographs and pictures with our guests for free. There's more stuff, right? You get an exclusive comic that is being produced this year by IDW, John Paul Bove and Corin Howe.
Actually, has that been made known yet by IDW?
Yeah, we put that out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
I saw the final files the other day. We're putting it together into the. They sent it to us. We put the convention program into it and put it all together, and then that'll be at the box set, and then it'll also be released to retail. Pretty wild. It's an interesting story. It's gonna rattle a few Beast Wars fans. Some are gonna really love it. Some are gonna be a little rattled by it because everybody kind of has their own idea of what happened before. And I know we told a Beast Wars story back in 2006, but that took place right before the beginning of Beast Wars. This one takes place right at the end of the final great war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So this one is a little bit, definitely more of a prequel. Well, they're both prequel.
I want to take a moment right here before we talk a little bit more about the history of BotCon and
I don't want to hijack the show.
That's fine. You know, you're here to answer questions and give feedback. And also, there's some listeners that via our Twitter at TFYLP have said, and I just kind of want to run over some of them here.
The question is not the listeners.
Sergio Garcia says, at TFYLP, BotCon 2006 is hands down the best box set. 2008, 2011 are tied for second. At Cyberwolf said, at TFYLP, I just love seeing the oddball niche
parts of the Transformers universe. I'm assuming like Shattered Glass, things like that. For that alone, I think Hasbro has big shoes to fill without Funpub. His favorite set, Cyberwolf says, the G2 set is up there for him since it was his first BotCon. The 2015 Diaclone guys got me interested in that part of Transformers history. And actually, that's the two that I have. The Maz at TF Square One says, I think the Stunicon job stands out for him as one of the best BotCon sets that he'd love to have.
Now I want to see that set in G2 colors.
Yeah.
Refresh my memory. That was the animated one, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah, that's that's some highlights right now. There's some other related sets, like some people saying the Deathsaurus was amazing, which I agree. But
you know, what's crazy about the Shattered Glass set too is that set was So the only thing that we have ever done that I really did not have a hand in, from when I was just in a quote-unquote advisor to when I was part-time to when I went full-time in 08, the only set I did not have a hand at all in was 05. I've had a hand in all the club exclusives and then everything from 06 on. And you're right, I was listening earlier about the 05 set. You're right on that. I mean, for the tight time frame, it turned out really well. That's still one of the best Ratchets they've ever done, Ratchet and Ironhide.
Yeah.
The 06 set, you know, we still had the mindset back then that I'll give you a quick little 2-3 minute history on some of the sets. The 06 set, we still had the mindset that that we couldn't use a lot of different molds. So we needed to use one mold and replicate them. So my original thought for the 06 set was to do both Optimus Primal and Rhinox from the bulldozer, what's his name? The landmine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Rat Trap and Cheetor would have both been from the motorcycle. The idea would have been was that they were on a planet doing recon or some type of construction work, whatever, because they were exploration crew, and those are the forms they took on that planet. Fortunately, and I'll give Rick Alvarez credit for that, he kind of pushed back and said he thought that wanted to push more for different characters, so that's how we ended up with the Primal, which is a fantastic Primal from the Crumple Zone mode. Yeah.
And probably, arguably, one of the more popular figures, that one along with the Megatron.
Yeah, that one, those were great. Everything from that year really turned out. The only thing that I regretted not being able to do, which we have since done this year, was getting that pterosaur from the other flip changer. We just didn't. We ran out of slots. Now, had we been doing 2006 in today's year, I would have just pushed for it and we would have gotten it. But we were very much into a set pattern back then. So that was a brief history on that one. 07 was a give me. Hasbro wanted us to finish the Seekers. We threw Dreadwind and Bugbite in there. Bugbite I wanted because I saw it from there. So that was a give me. 08, you know, that is the 06. I mean, 08 still goes for more than 06. I was hearing Brett, but yeah, 08 is still the more valuable set. And really from that set, the only toys, you know, it's funny when you're, I shouldn't say that like I'm the only one because I know fans will bash on it too. But from someone who works on this stuff, looking back on it, you always look at the ones that were kind of in mistakes in your eyes, things you screwed up. And I'm sure I agree with the fans on a lot of those, the head sculpts. But, you know, if I could do it over again, I mean, we would have probably done Grimlock in a much different color scheme. Goldbug, I guess, was okay. Jazz, I probably would have not done. Actually, Jazz we would have done in reverse colors, would have just inverted his colors instead of doing the white and the black. I don't know why we ended up doing that. We should have just inverted his colors. Of course, the free figure Ricochet, you know, I've said that story before, that Stepper was my chance to do that guy right, because that was totally, we just ran out of time. We ran out of time, and we had to come up with something that was just what we came up with. But who else was in that set? Starscream was good. Prime was good. Grimlock is, yeah, he's okay. And the Goldbug, I mean, he was decent. He was cool. But I guess for me, I think the two figures are really just kind of, for people that really just, or even just the one figure, to be honest with you, that just really sells that set is just the Shattered Glass Prime. I mean, that is, you know, that figure has really kind of been, you know, I know people like to kind of say, oh, I'm sick of Shattered Glass, blah, blah, blah. There is still just this large contingent of people, I think, that really just love the concept. And that figure is just such a identifiable part of the Shattered Glass mythos. And, of course, I thought the Megatron was great. I wanted the Megatron head based on the old Marvel Comics issue 3 with Spider-Man, kind of that bucket he had. That's where that head's inspiration came from. And, of course, the Rodimus was just – but the goatee was because you had Mr. Spock in the mirror, and that just made perfect sense. So it,
solid.
Yeah. So you know, so I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, there was – but the Blur was kind of – the Blur story, it was like, why did you give a Blur toy a new Blur head? Why didn't you just put a new toy? The whole idea was – actually, I can't remember now. There's a reason why – there's a reason why I think we wanted to do another mold as Blur, I think. I think we wanted to use one of the Hotshot molds, and that wasn't available, and we had to use that one. But we had already I know what it was. We wanted to do a Hotshot mold, a race car, with the Blur, with the eye patch. That mold wasn't available, so we ended up using this Blur mold, but we had already decided on a new head sculpt. And I guess it didn't occur to any of us at the time. Yeah, we were still kind of new in a way. It was still only 2008. Didn't occur to us at the time that we could have just given that one, made it a different character, or why were we still putting the Blur? We were still married to having Blur. We wanted Blur. We wanted Blur. So that was kind of a bizarre one. So yeah, I mean, there were three or four dogs, I think, in that set, the way I view it, looking back. But, you know, two-thirds of it was just so – I mean, the Predacons were cool. It was just a great set. So, overall, but like I said, I think it was the concept that really drove it home. But
yeah. Let me ask you another viewer question. Sergio Garcia is asking if you could give any more hints about the custom class figure. That's the first question he asked. And then he wants to know just how limited is the centerpiece going to be? Will he be able to get one on Thursday? He's really excited and he wants to make sure
he can get one. And he is a promise holder.
And he's a promise holder.
Let's see. For the custom class, I think I've given away about as much as I can without. Didn't I already say it was a 84, 85 character? Yeah, it was it. It's an 84-85 character. There's gonna be multiple. It's a character though that you can do in. You're gonna have your options in the class, and if you do it yourself, you have, you know, if you use the guide that Sean Tessman does, you'll be able to do your own version of it. But yeah, it's an 84-85 guy. It's a Combiner Wars mold. It's a head that hasn't been. At retail yet, so you can buy it either as a custom kit. You can either do, well, the class is sold out, but you can buy it as the assembled kit. To the other question, which was what?
How limited will the centerpiece be?
We will have less of him at BotCon than we did the Prime and the Hound from last year. And the other one is even more limited. We've had to do that. We had to kind of cut our numbers some for what we have available at BotCon just due to, you know, where the demand is right now. I mean, there's still a lot of demand for the box sets, but people aren't buying the extra souvenirs like they used to. I know that the market's very saturated right now, so there's a lot of product to buy. There's far more to buy now at higher price points than there were 4 years ago, so we took all that into consideration, and that's what we adjusted our numbers accordingly. But we also, the one of the ways we wanted to address that was that we are selling them individually. We kind of thought that would probably help a little bit too. But as far as whether or not they'll be available Thursday, if everybody bought their limits to the max, it gets pretty tight there at the end. That would be assuming every golden ticket bought three of everything.
Well, let me ask you this. Has any exclusive ever sold out the first night?
Gosh.
The first night.
I don't know. You know, boy, we only had 500 Megatrons and 500 of the Troopers back in 06. I don't know if they saw it the first night. They may have been gone by the second night.
I remember Saturday. I remember Saturday that some sold out, but as far as Thursday,
yeah,
I don't remember any selling out on Thursday.
You know what? I don't want to say I can't make any. I'm not going to make any promises because that just comes back to bite you. Because I don't know. Because right now numbers are doing really well on Primus packages.
Now the Transmetal 3 Megatron, is that the same numbers as everybody else, or are those extreme?
Oh, look at you trying to get me to admit that we're actually doing it. That was funny.
But it was in the video.
It was in the video. That was a great video. David K did it. I wrote that, by the way. All the little things you all don't know.
Why would you throw that in there if you're not going to do it?
I didn't say we weren't doing it, but I'm not going to say we are doing it. But I will say that if we were doing it, and that was a centerpiece, that is the single best looking head.
I love that mold. That's one of my favorite molds of all time.
Well, hey, Pete, let me say
what, regardless of whoever that centerpiece is, people are going to look at that toy and are just going to stare at that head. And they're going to be like, I cannot believe that head came out looking that unbelievably good.
So what you're saying is people are going to look at that head and go, yes.
And I don't even care. You know, people give me a hard time ever because I know I've said the best set ever. And I've done that before because I know I did that in 2012 because on paper with the drawn head turnarounds, with the way Overlord was supposed to look, with the way Metal Hawk was supposed to look, with the way Soundwave was supposed to look, on paper, that was a great set. Great set. Okay, execution didn't work out exactly like we wanted. I have the sample sitting to my left. Now, unless some major crazy hiccup happened between the production sample and the final sample, it's going to be incredible. And if that did happen, well, then at least there's one awesome one out there and it's sitting on my desk. Yeah. But no, it will be, I think people are going to flip their lids. And then talking about, someone mentioned about the niche characters, that one of the souvenirs, you cannot get more niche than what we did. It is so far out there, but awesome at the same time. So, and he's in the comic. Yeah. So,
well, Pete, I got a question for you. With 2016,
see, better conversation. We're excited. We're happy about BotCon. We're talking about good stuff. We're not talking about.
Oh, no.
I don't know why everybody always has to revert to negativity whenever BotCon's brought up. This is proof that BotCon is awesome.
No. I'm just saying whether or not, like, the show's ending or something like that. Who cares about that stuff right now? Only thing I care about is that I can't even think about that. All I can think about is making sure I get this cold gone and oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we don't want a case of Consars now.
No. I wasn't going to ask anything bad. It's just I just had a question.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
With this being the Beast Wars anniversary year, obviously you wanted to do something to honor Beast Wars. It's also technically, since it could also be Robots in Disguise 1.0, it could be their anniversary as well.
Thank you.
So I'm just wondering, at one point when you were looking at the figures – because to me, I would have liked to have seen a new Omega Prime with Hotspot as Fire Convoy, Optimus Prime, Rook as Ultra Magnus, Prowl from Prowl or different Prowl. You know, I was hoping to get some more RID love in this year as part of the anniversary as well, and. Well.
It's funny you say that because we did have a small RID 15th anniversary thing planned, but that line is not available right now and we weren't able to execute that. So
except Megatron.
So we
being cheeky.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, I just want to know, was there anything at least that you could have done?
We had some little guys planned for RID, but
okay. Well, that's cool. That's cool.
They were not available to be produced. So we did think about it, but it didn't happen.
Okay, that's cool. Thank you.
B Scorpionock 75 @DetroitTiger on Twitter says his favorite he doesn't have a favorite theme, he just loved the oddball picks here and there. So I guess last year's box set with the hodgepodge was kind of right down his alley then. But yeah. I'm like that. You know, there's always at least one figure out of every set that didn't flip the trigger.
Well, that was kind of where we came back to it this year, was trying to kind of start unifying the themes a little bit more starting this year, instead of kind of the, I know we kind of were trying that. I know we did the Stunicons in 11, and then 12 was supposed to be kind of a unified theme. It was supposed to be, you know, a versus thing, and then 13 was Machine Wars, and that, And then the Pirate versus Knight, well, people liked them, but they still wanted more of a unified theme, and then I thought, okay, well, Cybertron's Most Wanted. I think that's you kind of take five kind of rogue dudes, and I think it went over pretty well. But it's still, I think people just like, I think there was just this desire to really kind of have like
you can't get any more unified than a combining set.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you have like the Axelon crew in 06, and you know the Seekers from 07, and I think so. That was kind of the thought process going forward. You know, after talking with Hasbro, can you align more closely with what they're doing, and then. And then we did the combiner, and there was a discussion about doing like Megatron and Pterosaur and Tarantulas and Scorponok and who am I forgetting, and Waspinator, and doing like a, but I thought, you know, that's just so, to me that just didn't work. I'm like, why? I understand with Combiner Wars you've got a lot of teams of guys who didn't used to be combiners, but I was like, We've already done all these guys, all these characters as vehicles before. Why do all of them again? I didn't want to just like do all of them again.
Because I figured this year's set would have been like the Dawn of Futures Past, but flipped with the Predacon set, and like you know, sort of like you know, just basically to complete.
Well, you know, and that was kind of originally. I think that was kind of the original concept, but again, it's like, well, we've already done a Megatron. We've already done a Wasp here, and we've already done a Dinobot, and you know we've done a Tarantulas as a bike. Now, granted, I know we are doing some of these characters again, but I felt like at that point, what could you really have to kind of balance what we've already done, and what's kind of that one thing that was sticking out from the show that's never really been,
addressed,
executed. So and the funny thing is actually I've been thinking about the Tri-Penance Council for a while. One of the ideas I had was the three little mini-cons that merged into a robot from the Generations line, and they would have been in scale with the regular Transformers. But that didn't happen. So that idea was always in the back of my head. And then when we were talking about a merge group, we actually had an original concept for 16. And then we talked to Hasbro. They want us to do more Combiner Wars, so we kind of revamped it. And that's where we was like, all right, let's just, if we're gonna do that, let's do that. And actually, it was actually at that meeting when they said that, I was like, I know what we're gonna do. Let's do the Tri-Predicus Council. And you've got the covert agent, and you've got the secret police guy. You've got all five of them right there. So the Tarantula turned out really good too, but his now these colors are off. This is a production. Oh, wow.
Let me highlight that here a second.
Yeah. Now, again, these colors are way wrong. I have gotten pictures.
It looks like it's more teal on
the thing here. It's a real light blue. But the final one, the head turned out awesome. They got all the mandibles, the four horsemen are great. They captured all the details on the face, all the details on the back of the head. But he.
That looks amazing. I love that head sculpt.
But
is this light piping or is that just shiny paint?
It's just shiny paint. Okay. But yeah, these colors are it's like a milky gray sky blue. I don't know if that's really
the description. Did you have time to get that fixed?
Oh yeah. We got the Takara sent us a picture of the final version. We didn't get all our fixes. There were a couple minor things here and there that I would have liked to have been tweaked further, and they weren't. But it just we were on a that's a whole other story. Just it's with the Chinese New Year and everything going on, we keep kind of getting into these tight time frames sometimes. So one of those stories that are kind of all the behind the scenes stuff.
I say it was really neat that you guys are doing Trap Predicus anyway or the Predicus Council, because we've already got a Combiner Wars Magna Boss without realizing. I mean, we've got Prowl, we've got Ironhide, we've got Silverbolt.
Yeah.
So
and you saw them on the first page of the comic too. I'm sure that was completely coincidental.
Oh sure.
I'm sure we're not going to do anything to give people a Magna Boss because that would just be that would be too obvious. And you know us, we just love our missed opportunities. So.
Hey Pete, can you shed some light, just out of curiosity, why it's so early this year, or was it just time and place and everything? Just because it's that struck all of us as being, you know, kind of out of left field, being that this early.
Well, you know, it's the funny thing is, it's just kind of happened that we switched them about every 4 years. We put Joe in the summer, we put Transformers in the spring. So 08, Transformers were in the spring. 12, Transformers were in the spring. 16, Transformers were in the spring. So it's just kind of, you know, give the Joe guy summer vacation.
Following the pattern.
But it, you know what? That's not the only reason, too. There is a second reason is that with the way that the market is right now, or not the market, but the way, the economy is so strong right now for hotels, options are much more limited, too. With the time frame we also work in, because you know we have to work with Hasbro, and it's just not always as easy as saying okay, we want to be in this city. It takes some time to get all this stuff figured out. So by the time I think we were working on it, the best locations for BotCon was in the spring, and the things that made the most sense for Joe was in the summer. So that was the other reason too.
Awesome. Now, let's take we've talked about virtually every stage of BotCon, from the beginning to the middle to, well, the end coming up. Let's dwell. I don't want to end on a negative note. We'll kind of do that, but let's kind of dwell on the final BotCon, on that thought. Anybody want to weigh in on that? I know Don, you said you've kind of got a heavy feeling about this, and I do too.
Yeah,
about it being the final one.
Because I don't want to go back to the period between when G2 ended and BotCon. Well, it's been such a fixture of my life for so long. I don't want to have to. I don't want it gone, because that was my big journey to Mecca, basically to be around other people that love this thing as much as I do. And I know there's other very good shows. We've all been to them, but like you said, there's only one BotCon, and I've been there through its every iteration. And to quote David Tennant, I don't want it to go. So, you know, it's going to really hit me at BotCon when I like leave for the last time. Like, this is literally the end of an era. It is. There's been no convention that has run this long through this many incarnations of any franchise. And yeah, it's not as big as San Diego, or it may not be as well known as New York Comic Con or whatever the case may be. But this thing was a big part of a lot of people's lives, and it's going to leave a void that no other show can fill.
I don't care if you rename another show BotCon.
Yeah, it's just
if it's not carrying on the same tradition, it's not.
Yeah, I mean it's going to hit me sooner or later, especially when I'm at the show and I'm like I leave the hotel and I watch them breaking everything down. It's like this is it, and it's going to suck. But I've got 20 plus years of really good memories and a hell of a lot of nice toys. So it's been a ride.
It's funny you said that real quick, and just to kind of elaborate on another point, you said, you know, any other show, you could rename another show BotCon, and wouldn't it be? I think, and this is, and you'll have to forgive me for kind of, you know, patting myself on the back or whatever you can say right here, but, you know, I think when Brian took the name BotCon from John and Carl and started up his convention, I know he pretty much had an idea of kind of taking the Joe convention and putting a Transformer skin on it, right? Mm-hmm. The format he did with the box sets and all that stuff. But, you know, he didn't know anything about Transformers, and that was always been known. He knew Beast Wars, but he didn't know the Transformers fans, the brand. And, you know, between he and Hasbro, you know, they brought Carl and John and myself and Ben Yee and Rick Alvarez on, and we helped them, and we've all had different roles through the years, and I latched on full time, whatever. But I think being there, one of the first things I don't know if I was the only one in my memory, sometimes when it comes to the specifics kind of crap, but I know we talked about having the voice actors there. And I would like to think that that was probably something I brought up because, and again, you'll have to forgive me for my backpack here, but you know, when I was working with John and Carl and Glenn on the first BotCon, Peter Cullen idea was something I had actually brought up. I had said, why don't we get the voice of Optimus Prime? Carl can also collaborate that story. I'm not trying to take credit. I'm just saying that was an idea I had, is if we're going to do BotCon, let's bring in this guy that did the voice of Optimus. So that was always something that was very important to me from that first time, from when I first reached out to his agent. So that was important for me in 2005. My whole point here in this long diatribe is that when Brian took over BotCon and Fun Publications started producing it, there was Carl who was on staff. There was Ben Yee who came over. There was me who brought a good portion of that.
There's been some sort of continuance is what you're saying.
We brought things, elements from the previous BotCon here. We have Dan Kana who does a bunch of art for us. So, like I said, there was a lot of carryover. And actually, some of the stuff from BotCon in 2011, I talked Brian in to start bringing voice actors from the Joe show over to the Joe Con. We had Morgan Lofting as the Baroness and Hank, I'm blanking on his last name, but did Dial Tone. Because he thought, well, yeah, if we're going to bring a guest, let's bring the guy that did the voice of the character that we've got carded, the figure that we did carded. So we brought in the Baroness and we brought in Dial Tone. So that carried over to the Joe. So it's kind of funny how some of that stuff is carried from one show to the other. So that's all just going, my whole point in all that is that, you know, that it has been a continuous, even though it's been two different or three different or four, even from Dennis Barger and Raksha, you know, there's been from 1994 through 2016, there's a cohesive theme. There's a timeline. There is a pattern. Keep using different words there. So you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think that it's, you know, the term keeps getting tossed around, the end of an era. And when we think that, you know, I mean, and we've said it time and again, yeah, there's other conventions out there. And TFCon, I'll name drop. TFCon is one of them. It's probably the biggest heavy hitter out there other than BotCon. And I know a lot of us will gravitate to that. But, you know, the official standing of BotCon and having the Hasbro presence there, showing off upcoming product, even though, you know, SDCC in recent years has kind of scooped BotCon on the bigger reveals, which is, you know, as a fan, I kind of lament that fact. But whenever you look at BotCon as a whole, there's just something about it, you know, and I think the Hasbro presence there, especially over the last 10 or 15 years, has added that little thing to it. And being a dealer helper with Captured Prey, you know, I know for a fact that as a dealer, BotCon above all other cons is like the convention to make your sales, because that is the in name the most specific Transformer convention out there. You know, and that's what you want to focus on is your BotCon. Like me, for instance, this year, you know, where I work, I'm not going to have a whole lot of vacation time this year. And I have I've already requested 3/4 of my vacation time for one show, BotCon. And, you know, I could have split it up between BotCon and other conventions to go out. But if I'm going to make one show this year, especially even if this wasn't going to be the last BotCon, if I were going to make one show a year, it would have to be BotCon. Absolutely. And thinking about, you know, like Don said, whenever the doors are closed, the last fan walks out, and you know, and being a dealer helper, I'll be there a little bit longer helping tear down. Whenever we leave, just knowing that it's done, you know, and I know that there's fans out there. And I'm kind of using that term loosely whenever the way they act. You know, there's fans out there that relish in the fact that this is the last one. But, well, shame on you, because you don't know
what you got till you lose it.
Till you lose it, exactly.
I tell you, that's going to be true. And I'm not, when people start realizing it, of course it's going to be too late. You'll see it.
I don't want to get into that conversation. I know the people that are. I understand that there is, but they what I always convey, and this doesn't mean that I don't that we're not we shouldn't listen to valid criticisms or we shouldn't listen to critiques, because we do. I always try to stress anytime I come on a podcast or anytime someone talks to me how much we do listen and how much I take back to the office and how much we do try to implement changes. But that said, There is a small group of people that I don't know if you want to call it a grudge or call it whatever, that hold on to whatever issues may have been there and just will not let it go.
The vocal minority.
But and they like to say that they're not the vocal minority, but at the end of the day, they really are, because again, I read all the feedback forms, I see all the people at the and they don't have to be nice on the feedback forms. You don't get anything. You don't even have to put your name. You can say you guys suck, whatever. I mean, I don't know who anybody, I mean, it's up to them, you know, what they write on there. Overwhelmingly. I mean, I even actually, you know, we do, I work with Jeremiah, we actually break it all down and do all the correlation data, correlation of the data and seeing, you know, how it all ties together. And like the average rating for the show was like 8.5 on a scale of 1 to 10. And for like first time growers, it was close, or it was like 8.25. And then for like first time growers, it was 8.5. I won't bore you with the statistics. Point is that between that and the emails we get and the posts we see online and the feedback forms, we know that there is a large group of people that love the show. And yes, we can always do something better. Absolutely. I'll be the first one to say it. Yes, that head could have been better. Yes, we could have handled the situation in 2012 with the credit cards better. I will be the first to say it. Absolutely. People like, they don't apologize. I've apologized 1,000 times for missteps. I will continue to. I'm happy to. But the point is that I know that we have a large number of people that love the show. And I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't enjoy doing it. No, I wouldn't be doing it for free. Don't get me wrong. But because it is a lot of work. But I enjoy what I do. I've enjoyed doing it for 9 years now. I just think it's great. Everybody that's going to be coming out this year, I think they're going to have a fantastic time. I don't want to get into the whole final door close, all that stuff, because I've done that once before back in 2004. So, you know, there's no point and look what happened. You know, 2004, we thought that was the last show, and John Carl and I put on one final one, and that was it. And then I ended up with a career doing BotCons and JoeCons. So, you know, that's not even on my radar right now. God, I sound like a political person. I'm not even thinking about that. I'm just focused on the future.
My statement on the naysayers and everything, you know, and I'll be the first to admit, and I'm being real here, you know. I'll be honest. I'm not always been a fan of everything FunPub or BotCon has said or done, you know, but that doesn't mean that I hate the brand and that I'm going to boycott it. I'm a third party fan. I still love BotCon because it's Transformers. There, you know, you can love something and not totally be on board. I mean, it's like any married couple. Here's a good analogy. Any married couple can have arguments, knock down, drag out fights over something other. You know, she wants pizza, you want hamburgers. You know, and you get into an argument and you go both go to separate rooms and be all huffed up and mad. Does that mean you hate that person? No. You know.
No, but it means you're having pizza tonight.
Yeah. But you know, the what it boils down to is that I am a Transformer fan. I have been to multiple BotCons and I love the convention. And you know, despite all the hiccups, I'm going to say hiccups, not problems, all the hiccups and speed bumps along the way, every BotCon I have been to, I have had a blast. I cannot say
can you represent honestly, and I'm not saying this to, again, I'm not trying to pat any backs here, but you represent the majority of the people. Yeah, there's going to be bad experiences, and yeah, that we're going to hear about them online and Ozium, but and we will do everything we can to correct those so it doesn't happen. But for 95% of the people, and I'm just throwing a number out there, but I would, if I had to put money on it, 95% of people come to the show have a great time and can't wait to come back the following year. And all we can do is try to get that as close to as 100% as we can. That's all we can do.
Yeah. And I'm not sitting here trying to kiss ass either. You know, it's like, I'll be the first to say there's been times that, you know, I've been to BotCon or seen something that's been revealed or put out, and I shake my head. That's not a good idea. That sucks. But you know, that doesn't mean that I'm not a fan. That you know, everybody's critical of something, so, and not everybody's going to be pleased with everything you put out. And it goes back hand in hand with the statement I said earlier.
I'm not pleased with everything you put out.
Yeah, and it goes hand in hand with the statement I said earlier. You know, every box set, there's at least one figure in it that absolutely works for me. You know, maybe not the whole box set as whole. You know, but look for, you know, it's like the Masterpiece Tracks thing right now. You know, I talked a little bit in a subgroup on Facebook earlier today. Everybody's hating on Masterpiece Tracks because he's got the hollow backpack and the hollow shoulders and everything. They could have designed it better. It's like, yeah, they could have designed it better, but you know what? MP10, for all of its louding, doesn't even look like a real truck in its alt mode. Yeah, he looks pretty good. But, you know, as a semi-driver, a professional semi-driver, I can tell you with beyond a shadow of a doubt, he does not look like a real semi in his truck mode. But yet, he's pretty flipping awesome. You know, I'm not going to knock him over that. He has die-cast, yet a lot of the other Masterpieces do not. You know, do we hate on the Masterpiece line because there's little parts of it that we don't like? I think Masterpiece Tracks is great. Yeah, he has the floating head and the hollow back. Big deal. He still is the best representation of Tracks that we have to this day. You know, and I don't see the point in whining, bitching, and moaning about something that is essentially there's really nothing wrong with to begin with. You know, ultimately.
By the end of this year, we will put out, because I've counted them up, by the end of this year, we will put out 220 different Transformers. 220.
Just this year?
No, by the end of this year. Oh. By the end of 2015.
I'm like, that's a lot.
No, by the end of this year, from 2005 through 2016, we'll put out 220, depending on how you count mini cons and stuff like that. I count some of them as groups. Like, I count like the Predacons from 2008 as separate. But for the most part, it works out to, and like the one that comes with Sideswipe, that's one. Him and Sideswipe that comes with the toy. enough of the boring details. Point is, we'll put out about 220. And yeah, about 10 to 15 of those, I wish I could redo. They could have been better. About 5 or 6, 7 heads, people are like, oh, that's another Fun Pub head. Well, let me tell you, about 90% of the heads that we put out, and yeah, I will say 90%, well, let me say 85, just to say, have been stellar. There have been some that have had issues because you were kind of working on the back end coming in. But overall, the majority of our product has been great. And, you know, I stand by most all of it, except for that counter punch that's still in the box that I'll never open. But other than that, I think we've done a pretty good job. Could have done better in some areas, but you know what? If you sit back and think that you've done the best you can on anything, that doesn't leave you much room to grow, does it? So I always look back and think of what we could have done better and how we can do it better down the road. So
well, I mean, and bottom line is if you don't like something other, then you don't have to buy it. But if you like something other, buy it. You know,
no, we stopped people. We stopped forcing people to buy our stuff back in 2012. We no longer require
it. Yeah, but I mean, it just goes to show you that people will complain regardless. And it's not just BotCon. I mean, it goes with Hasbro. You know, there's people out there. You know, it's like there's a fan earlier this week said that, you know, he was buying the Combiner Wars stuff, but he didn't. It didn't float his boat. It feels cheap. It feels hollow, and everything. And I'm like, I don't share that sentiment. You know, I mean, to each their own. To me, I am all about Combiner Wars. I've bought some of these molds 4 times. Hell, I have 2 Superions right now, and a 3rd one sitting in my pile, in a store. You know, and that's the G2 one, but I've got the Combiner Wars and I've got Unite Warriors, but I love them both.
I have really, as I have been having to work with them, and you know, honestly, I don't really, just to be straight up, I don't really get anything from retail anymore, or at least purchase something. I get samples, but I don't like actually buy anything. And so the only stuff I really get is stuff that I really get into is stuff I know we're going to make exclusives of, or things that I go, okay, that looks really cool, should we make it exclusive of that? And really, to be honest with you, this is the first year in a long time where I've been able to mess with the toys and pretty easily transform them without having to look at the instructions. And I like that, because what did I grow up with?
G1.
You know? Yeah. And Combiner Wars is really the first line that I've worked on that has been, you know, when I'm messing with the Tarantulas or the Jets, where I'm like, man, that's just, boy, I like that. That didn't take me 20 minutes. I remember literally sitting in the Hasbro office back in, because we would take pictures. We would go up there in January and we would take pictures of the stuff so we could have some toy, so we could have our toy for coverage out right as it hit. So we would get advanced looks at all the stuff. And that also helped us decide where our box sets were. And I remember messing with the war with the – what was it called? The war
– War Within.
War Within, the Prime and the Bumblebee.
War for Cybertron or Fall of Cybertron.
Oh, my God. War for Cybertron, oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Trying to transform those toys and having absolutely no idea what – I'm like, this is crazy. This is I finally had to call in one of the marketing gals. I'm like, you know how to transform this? I'm not kidding you. This is another fun story, and Carl would always give me crap about it because I would tell him about this. The worst part of our trip up to Hasbro in January would be when I would go back on the second day there into the photo studio with all the new toys that nobody's seen, right? And as a fan, you should be like, oh, wow. Knowing I had to transform these because it was so, because we're on a time schedule. You know what I'm saying? So trying to spending 10 to 15 minutes trying to get a toy transformed, and we got to get these in picture. So I'm not really paying attention to see how cool. I mean, yeah, I just still, oh, that's cool. But it was just depressing. So this has been great.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we've gone 2.5 hours now, and a lot of great things here. A look at BotCon.
I'm sorry, I talk too much.
No, you're fine. You're fine. We thank you so much for joining in with us today. But we've looked at the fan perspective, the history of BotCon. You know, how it looked from the beginning, how it looks now, how it looked like in the middle. Some great stories, some great fan interactions, and some great info and insight from you, Pete. Sergio Garcia is watching too. He said a lot of the naysayers are very childish. That's so true. So that just goes to show you that we are, as fans, we lament about the fact that this is the last official BotCon as we know it. You know, and I'm going to tell you right now, you know, like I said earlier, I know it might not be on your radar right now, but I'm hoping that there still is a BotCon 2017 somewhere. And I, you know, if it's not official, so be it. I just still want there to be a BotCon.
Well, and hopefully it's in Indy.
Fort Wayne.
Come on.
Well, you know, anybody who's watching and anybody who's not watching, who is told by somebody who's watching, you just need to come out to the show. I mean, I know your show tonight was supposed to be mainly about kind of reminiscing about BotCon, so.
And we've done that.
What? No, I know. I'm saying, what I'm saying is that instead of kind of dissecting and reminiscing about the 21 previous BotCons, come out for the 22nd BotCon, which, you know, we are working to make just as awesome and just as spectacular and just as top notch as any other show that we've ever done. It's the goals, you know, what we're trying to achieve is the same no matter what year it is, no matter what the circumstances are. So, you know, this isn't just about selling toys and whatever. This is about putting on an amazing convention for fans from all across the world. So I hope everybody comes out, whether as a package holder or as a walk-in, and you'll have a great time. The panels will be fantastic. Friday night event will be fun. Down at 4th Street Live. You've probably been down there, haven't you? If you know where.
I live like 30 minutes away. So
yeah. So you got great bars and great eateries. Bars are open to 4 a.m. So there'll be a decent number of Transformer fans. They're very excited about that.
Louisville's known as a foodie town, so there's always something out there.
Tons of drinks, all kinds of bourbon. They've got fish inside the bar. Literally, fish inside the bar. Here's like the bar where you sit at the bar at the table, and there are fish in the bar. So you're drinking. Now, you can't feed them, but they're there. And then the Saturday thing, the Judd Nelson thing, there's just going to be so much stuff going on. It's going to be nonstop. Tons of great panels, a packed dealer room, tons of artists if you're into that. Got over 20 different artists. So.
And we had Marcelo Monterrey on the show a couple weeks ago, and I look forward to meeting him in person this year. I mean, I've met him before, but never actually had a chance to talk to him until the show a couple weeks ago. And now I'm, you know, I can go up to him and say, "Hey, I know you now." So that's really great. But we've gone a long time, Pete. I want to thank you again for joining us tonight, and if I don't get a chance to talk to you at the show, from TFYLP, I want to thank you guys for BotCon, just in general. And anytime you all want to say anything, feel free to give us a shout and drop by. Even throughout 2016, and if there's any club stuff you want us to know. Be happy to share it.
Yeah, we'll I'll come on. We'll talk about club, because after the show, we'll have 5.0, and I can, you know, when we get those samples, I'll come on, show you some samples, and
be awesome.
Talk about.
But Don, Jim, Brett, I want to thank you guys for joining us. We will see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. We're still trying to work out something. for the week of BotCon, our broadcast schedule, because Friday night will probably not happen as our normal night, but we're going to try to do something other maybe earlier that week if we can. We'll let you know as time gets closer. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Check us out on Twitter at TFYLP. We have a Facebook group and also, as always, tftalk.net for all the other info. We will see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I'm Daron Land with everyone else. See you at BotCon and see you next week.
That's a threat and a promise.
See ya.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.